Several Native Hawaiian groups gathered at the Office of Hawaiian Affairs yesterday to denounce violence. The meeting follows an incident at OHA that happened a week ago today. That's the starting point of a conversation HPR reporter Ku'uwehi Hiraishi had with several community leaders. She talked about that with HPR's news director, Bill Dorman.
On January 18th, members of a Native Hawaiian sovereignty group walked into the Office of Hawaiian Affairs and took over the front desk by force. The police came. There were several arrests, but it brings up a broader question about who speaks for Native Hawaiians, whether that's inside or outside the political process. HPR's Ku'uwehi Hiraishi is here, and you asked that question to a number of folks. What sort of reactions did you get?
It's varied. There are a number of folks who understand sort of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs being a big advocate officially within the system for Native Hawaiian rights. They go to the legislature. They lobby for Hawaiian causes. You've got Hawaiian civic clubs. You've got multiple groups that organize to sort of leverage the voice of Native Hawaiians. But with when it comes particularly to activism and those who work outside the system like this sovereignty group, the Kingdom of Atui, it gets a little bit more complex. So Andre Perez, a Hawaiian independence activist and Hawaiian cultural practitioner, was actually there. He caught all of this on tape. He approached the men. And this is what his reaction was when I asked him, who do you think speaks for Native Hawaiians?
I certainly think that Hawaiians should speak for themselves. You know, that's agency and self-determination, and that anybody has the right to speak for themselves. But I think the question really narrows down to who gets to speak for the Kingdom of Hawaii or the Hawaiian Kingdom that was overthrown. The struggle has always been really amongst the Kanaka community, the Hawaiian community, for, you know, a couple of decades to try to unify and come together as one political body. I think it's very difficult for anyone to attempt to speak on behalf of the Hawaiian Kingdom with authority and with the full support of the Hawaiian population.
So some of the complexities surrounding that idea of these kingdom groups. So the Hawaiian independence movement has had many different iterations of kingdom groups. We had back in the 70s, Kalahui Hawaii with Mililani Trask, lots of activism there. There are folks who have actually engaged in constitutional conventions and set up a leadership structure independent from the United States and the Hawaiian King or the Hawaii state, but trying to figure out how to exercise self-determination outside the system. So, you know, the idea that the independence movement is unified has always been the struggle for the Native Hawaiian community. I did get to speak to someone who has been a member of the Hawaiian independence movement for about 35 years, Noilani Goodyear Ka'opua, who's also a professor of political science up at University of Hawaii at Manoa. And she was a little bit more aggressive in denouncing this particular group because of the approach that they have towards seeking justice or seeking self-determination within this context.
I think one of the things that I want to really emphasize is that the Kingdom of Atui doesn't speak for the Hawaiian independence movement. They've made it easier now for the state to come down and say, oh, see, Hawaiians can be dangerous. And that makes me honestly very, very sad because I've seen, as I said, over the last 25 years of my involvement in the movement, a huge amount of discipline among our people to be principled, to be strong, and to be nonviolent, to have understanding and compassion for the people who are on the other side, which doesn't mean that we capitulate and give up what our position is, but that we recognize that they're human.
That visual, I remember seeing a photo taken during the protests of Mauna Kea between folks, I think it was from Dokia and DLNR, Hawaiians, who were having to arrest the protesters. And then the protesters sort of sitting in, but in exchange of honi and understanding that, you know, we both disagree, obviously, on what we're going to do to move forward with this particular project, but I'm going to respect you and you're going to respect me. So that sentiment, at least from a lot of the folks that I've spoken to who have been a part of the independence movement, was something that they really paid attention to at this particular incident.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, too, on that, of this assumption that somehow there is a monolithic group of, oh, you're Native Hawaiian, therefore you must believe X, Y, Z. There is, a broad, as with any other group, differences
right.
of opinion.
Very diverse, and thinking about the fallout from the overthrow and the idea of Hawaiian identity and how we seek this path of self-determination has always been something that, even for folks, Perez was saying, he's tried to organize various sort of sovereignty groups, but it's hard to agree on what happened in terms of history. It's hard to agree on what was the last constitution, who's the rightful leader. King Kamehameha I, for example, had something like 32 wives and concubines, the descendants. Everybody can be a descendant of Kamehameha to some extent. So it's sifting through all of that and trying to restructure. That's been a struggle, I think, in the community. But more strides have been made in recent years than ever before. In 2016, there was the AHA coming out of the Native Hawaiian Rural Commission. Now, this was within the system and sort of seeking a path to federal recognition or self-determination within the system. So not everybody was on board. But out of that did come governing documents and people talking about these having these conversations in one room. So there is, I think, sincere, authentic hope along all lines, including with the folks from the Kingdom of Atui, that self-determination is definitely the path, that self-governance in some shape or form has to happen. So speaking to Kuhio Lewis, who was a former OHA employee and now the head of the Council for Native Hawaiian Advancement, he touched on that aspect, that this incident helps bring up this wider conversation about self-determination.
Many of us in the community have advocated for the advancement of some kind of a government structure, free and separate from the United States, from the state of Hawaii. Those efforts over the years have taken different turns. But we still need to, as a Lahui, as a community, look at what does it look like. We're going to start talking reconciliation. If we're going to start talking about restitution or all of the things that need to occur in order for us to move forward as Hawaiians and as a greater community, can only be achieved through some self-governed body. How do we create a government structure that is recognized and can be representative of a democratic body that decides how we move forward as a community?
Essentially, yeah, pretty much sums up all within the system and outside the system what Native Hawaiians as a whole, as a lahui or a community, are trying to achieve.
Our general assignment reporter, Kuvehi Hideishi. You can find her stories on this topic and more on our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.